You are now listening to Shotgun Sports, powered by Winchester. Recorded in the U.S. and streaming all over the world, we talk to shotgun shooters from all disciplines, world-class instructors, gun clubs, target setters, vendors, and industry-leading companies that fuel the sport. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and connect with us on social media. You can also catch our episodes on ShotgunSportsUSA.com.
If you or your club are looking to purchase Pro-Matic traps, make sure you get in touch with Rick Hemingway. He is the largest Pro-Matic dealer in the country and can handle everything for you. Rick offers new and pre-owned units and exceptional service. He also has a huge rental fleet, so no job is too big or small. Rick is well known for setting championship-style targets and designing unbelievable courses, so make sure you ask him about his turnkey services for skeet, trap, and five-stand. Contact Rick today at backwoodsquailclub.com or call 843-546-1466. Thanks for joining me on Shotgun Sports USA. Today on the show, I have the 2021 ACUI Collegiate Women's National Champion. She's also a two-time member of Team USA, and in 2020, she won the North Central Regional, the South Central Regional, and the Diamond Classic. She's a longtime Beretta sponsor shooter and a great advocate in the sport. Please welcome Megan Harrington. Hey, Megan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
If you would, introduce yourself to the listeners.
Okay. Well, my name is Megan Harrington. I am a 22-year-old originally from Corpus Christi, Texas. I currently reside in College Station, Texas, but I typically frequent the Houston area. I'm a student at Texas A&M University, and I work at the Texas A&M Institute for Preclinical Studies, which is the research sector of A&M. I am also on the U.S. Sporting Clays team. I've been a member for 2 years now. And I've been shooting sporting clays for roughly 6 years and been shooting trap and skeet for roughly 14 years.
You've been shooting a long time.
A while, yes, sir. I picked up the gun when I was 8 years old, so it's been a while.
Wow. I'll tell you something you probably don't know. At Nationals, probably maybe 3 years ago, you and I shot FITAS together.
That's amazing.
I'm sure you don't remember that, but I remember seeing you and talking to you now, so it's kind of funny.
Yeah, quite a bit of development from 3 years to now.
Yeah. So there's a lot that I want to discuss with you from, you know, how you got started shooting all the way up into college, the NSCA, Team USA, all that stuff. So let's start with how you got involved in shooting.
Okay, well, I followed in my brother's footsteps, so I joined the local 4-H club, which was Nueces County 4-H in Corpus. At that particular time, you had to be 8 years old or in the third grade. So I started when I was 8 years old. We bought a used 391 with a youth stock because my parents didn't know if I was going to take it seriously or not. I was really tiny back then also. I'm only 5'3" now, but I was well under 5 foot when I first picked up the gun. Uh-huh. So finding one that actually fit me was really hard. I remember a couple of 4-H dads took me to the skeet field and had me shooting outgoers and incomers to get me to hit an easier target. And as it turns out, I won my first competition, so I was immediately hooked. I shot my first perfect 25 out of 25 in skeet within a year of starting. So I knew that I could ultimately go far in the sport if I set my mind on it. And my first year of Texas 4-H, I had to shoot every single discipline, skeet, trap, a variation of five stand sporting clays, modified trap and international skeet. That's a lot for an 8-year-old. So I definitely had to build my endurance up to it.
Right.
But I was blessed to take lessons from the best in each discipline. So I felt as though I was always well prepared for competition.
So you talk about your lessons for a minute. Who did you take lessons from?
Oh, goodness. Okay. So for trap, I took from Hank Schaefer here in Texas. He shoots a lot of trap. Uh-huh. I took skeet from Todd Bender, international skeet from Sean McClellan, who's an Olympic medalist. I took modified trap lessons actually from a bunker coach named Brian Burrows. Uh-huh. And then sporting clays I didn't get into until later. But my first coach was actually Dan Carlisle. Then I would later take with Zach Keenbaum and Steve Liberta. And now I kind of frequent all of them. And then, my fiance is Dominic Grass. So he's a great help to look over my shoulder whenever I'm having a bit of difficulty.
Yeah. Speaking of Dominic, are you and him competitive with one another?
Absolutely. We are. It's so funny because he just got his SO5 fitted to him. So he's been shooting phenomenally this year. So I'm like, I got to pick up my game. I need to get back into competing against you.
Yeah. So you're shooting a Beretta 694. Is that correct?
That is correct. My 694 is currently at Winning, getting a custom stock on it. So I'm excited to get it back and to hopefully shoot it the later part of the season. But I am continuing to shoot the first half, at least, with a 692 black.
Right. Okay. So you're currently a student at Texas A&M.
Yes.
What made you decide this is the college you wanted to attend?
Ironically, A&M was not my first choice of college. I'm very passionate about A&M, and I'm so glad I ended up here. I had my heart set on Baylor, and everybody knew that was where I was going. However, it wasn't until my senior year of high school that I learned the majority of the scholarships I had won through shooting would only transfer to a public institution. So that really affirmed my decision to go to A&M. I also am a homebody, so I knew being away from my mom and away from my hometown at Corpus was going to be really hard on me. And with shooting and 4-H, I knew a lot of the kids that actually were coming to A&M or that were already here. So it made me feel more comfortable knowing I'd automatically have friends in a new town.
Yeah. Shooting at A&M is a big deal.
Yes.
So why is that? Why does I hear a lot of the shooters, you know, the kids talking about, I want to go to A&M. Why do they all want to go there?
So A&M differs from other colleges in that our shooting team is not a varsity sport. We're actually a part of our rec sports club, which means that we're a completely student-run organization. We do have a coach. Previously, it was Cullen Grissom. Now we've got Jeff Gregory. Both are absolutely phenomenal volunteers. Yes, our coaches are volunteers that give back to our team. It's expected for us to be great representatives of our university, but ultimately the Aggie network is what makes the A&M team so special.
Wow. So what does it take to get into Texas A&M?
It takes, I believe whenever I first applied, it was the top 10% received automatic admission.
Okay.
And then everybody after that went into a holistic review where they took in letters of recommendation, community involvement, et cetera, into consideration. I do know it's getting harder to be admitted to Texas A&M, so it might be somewhere close to the top 7%, but don't quote me on that. Ultimately, the core values and traditions of A&M make it such a unique experience and make everybody want to come here.
We have Joe Finese is going to A&M, I believe, starting next year. Is that right?
Yes, he is. We are so excited to have him. He's been a great, Dominic and I, we took him to our Yale practice, and seeing Joe's reaction, I mean, he is fully immersed in the Aggie spirit already. I'm so excited for him.
Yale practice? You have to practice out of Yale?
So we don't have cheerleaders. We have Yale leaders. And so basically they help lead us in our chants that we use during football games. So our Yale practice is the day before football game at midnight. Typically it's Fridays, and all of us Aggies get together in Kyle Field midnight on Friday, and we practice all of our chants that we're going to do.
All right.
You cannot. It's a really good experience. You need to see it. There's hundreds and hundreds of Aggies that just come together.
So why do they not have cheerleaders? Is there a reason for that?
I think it just goes back to A&M was an all-male university.
Okay.
And I wish I knew more of the history to tell you right now. I'm kind of a 2%er. I'm really not. So a 2%er in Aggie terms is someone that's not immersed in the culture. I really am immersed, but I believe it was because we started as an all-male university, so the Yale leaders helped to lead the chants and get morale up during football games.
Okay. Well, that's interesting for sure.
Yes.
I think I'm going to look that up on YouTube because I want to see. Is it on YouTube?
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yes. And then also look up the origin of Giggum. You'll like that one.
Okay. All right. I'll do it. So what major, what is your major and what do you plan to, you know, what do you plan to do once you graduate?
I'm currently a public health major. Okay. I graduate May 19th. Not that I'm counting or anything. Once I graduate, I'll be attending nursing school. Currently, I've been accepted to UT's program and Texas Woman's program. Both are in the medical center in Houston. So I'm really excited because those were my two top choices. So I'll be learning from the nation's best. And in Houston, I'll also be in the Mecca of sporting clay. So I hope I get to shoot a little bit more.
Right. Yeah.
But also something exciting and new is that I will be the new coach for the Lone Star Select shooting team. So I'm excited to help coach while in nursing school.
Can't get away from that shooting. So I'm assuming you're going to plan on shooting forever. It sounds like you are.
I hope so. Yeah. Yes. My ultimate career goal is to become a nurse anesthetist. Mm-hmm. And that's going to take going to work for 2 years once I become a nurse and then going back to nurse anesthetist school for 3 years. And that training is extremely rigorous. So I don't know how much shooting I'll be doing during those 3 years. But after that, I think I'll have the lifestyle and the hours, the flexibility in my schedule to get to shoot whenever I want to.
Yeah. So the Texas A&M trap and skeet team, explain how that works. I mean, you know, what is it like to be on the team?
Okay. Well, like I said, it was a rec sports club. I believe our requirements are 2.5 to be a member and 2.75 to be an officer of the club.
Okay.
But practices are held every Monday and Thursday. This really changed during COVID, though. So essentially, each person had to choose what day they were coming out, and they had to shoot with a specific cohort throughout the semester just to reduce contact during this time. So that's why this national title meant so much to A&M, because we had very limited practice with the COVID guidelines from the university that we had to follow. But we do everything ourselves. It's a completely student-run organization, from booking hotels to signing up for competitions to hosting our own fundraisers. It is completely the responsibility of our students.
Okay. Sounds like you have to be organized to be on your team then.
Absolutely. Have great time management skills.
I'd be kicked off the first week.
Oh. It's quite an adjustment for a lot of our kids, yeah. But the officers do a great job of keeping it all together.
Yeah. So do they offer scholarships, shooting scholarships?
A&M is one of the few that does not. I remember when I was a sophomore officer, this was something we were really trying to get off the ground and running, but COVID drastically changed our timeline and plans. We do have a few parent 501c3 organizations that we'd like to host fundraiser shoots and donate the proceeds to us. Mm-hmm. So we hope this is something we can have in the future, but at this particular time, we do not.
Do you, when you graduate, do you stay involved with the shooting team? I mean, how does that work?
We definitely help in the sense that the new officer team can reach out to existing officers or previous officers, I should say, and ask for any advice and guidance. But really, we go to their fundraiser shoot. We help support them. We give donations. But after that, it's a new officer team that takes over and makes decisions.
I gotcha. All right. How do you get on the team? Is there like a process you have to try out, or everyone that attends the school is welcome on the team? Do you have to be invited? What is the process to get on the team?
Right. So everyone that is a student at Texas A&M is welcome to join the club. If they pay dues, they pass our safety test, and if they're in good standing with the university, there is a qualification process for our national traveling team. We have something called Maroon 100s, which is 100 shots or 4 rounds of trap or skeet that is pulled and scored without any practice, just to simulate a competition atmosphere. We also take scores and sporting clays into consideration. So we take the top 10 scores in trap, skeet, and sporting clays. We have a few well-rounded individuals that qualify in all three disciplines, so they take up one spot in each discipline. We also have a few members that are just trap shooters, skeet shooters, or sporting shooters, respectively, just one of them. So they only take up one spot, but we do take the top 10 in each discipline for our nationals team.
Okay.
So basically, members can either shoot Maroon 100s or they can attend a NSCA, NSSA, or ATA event and send in their scores. Essentially, it just has to have a referee. But with sporting clays, I mean, there's a variance in difficulty. So we do exactly what Team USA does. We take your percentage out of the HOA. So for instance, if someone shoots the Diamond Classic, a notoriously hard course, and they shoot at 85, but the HOA is an 86, they go down in our books as a 98% because, I mean, that's just fair to them.
Speaking of the national championships, you just recently attended the 21 ACUI Collegiate National Championships. How did that go?
It went amazing. So A&M exceeded our own expectations. We were fortunate enough to win the Division I national title, and we could not be happier. Mm-hmm. We always knew that we had a chance because we had come very close before. We actually came in second place the previous 2 years, but Shriner and Lindenwood's programs were always a little intimidating because of the number they draw in just from their scholarships. Mm-hmm. So pulling it off on my senior year was pretty special. On an individual note, I honestly shot better than I expected. I'm not a person that's usually underprepared for an event, but this year I had so much on my plate with HLSR rodeo events and school, and I'm also publishing a research manuscript for my job. So I didn't get to step foot on a ski field until 2 weeks before the event. With my capstone and graduating, that also took up the majority of my time. Fortunately, I was able to get just enough practice in to feel comfortable, and that translated to me being able to win my second straight ladies national championship.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I know that's a big deal for you.
It is. So we didn't get to compete in 2020 because of COVID. So I'm the 2019 and the 2021 champion. So it's kind of back to back, but.
Well, good. All right. We're going to back up a second. You said something about rodeo. Are you involved with rodeo?
I am. So back whenever I started, I participated in all these rodeo events and scholarship events. One of them was the Houston Young Guns shoot, and those kids would win cash prizes. Mm-hmm. Now I'm on the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, the Ranching and Wildlife Committee. And so we host the Young Gun Shoot. We also host an archery competition, a poster board and video contest. And we also have fundraiser that helps us raise money to give cash prizes and buckles to all of our kids.
COVID and the nationals, how is it different from other years now with COVID?
This year was extremely difficult. We had to get a COVID test within 72 hours of departure, and we had to send in our negative test results, which was particularly difficult because we didn't know if our test results were going to come in time. Fortunately, we had no issues. Mm-hmm. Other than shooting, we had to wear a mask at all times. We could not mingle with other teams. Parents and spectators were not allowed this year, which was particularly heart-wrenching for us seniors. Our A&M parent team goes above and beyond. We have parents donate food and barbecue trailers, and they're cooking while we're shooting. So we typically get fed like steaks and potatoes, hamburgers, all kinds of food. So not having the parents there was pretty hard for team morale. But when we checked in each day, we had a temperature check, and we immediately went to our fields to shoot. And then we were asked to leave for the day. We also did not have an award ceremony, so our trophies are going to be shipped to us. And I remember I had to wait on all of the scores to be posted to find out that I had even won the lady title, because there were rotation shooting as late as 4 or 5 p.m. And I had finished pretty close to 11:30 a.m. So it was such a waiting game to figure out if I had won or
not. Yeah, you're not there. You have to wait on what? Is there some websites you go to? How does that work with scores?
Yeah, there was a website, but also the San Antonio Junior Livestock Show and Rodeo, their scholarship shoot was moving in as ACUI was moving out. So they even postponed posting all the final scores a few more hours. So I was just sitting there twiddling my thumbs for a little bit.
So did you have to actually pull the trigger with a mask on?
No. Luckily, okay. They allowed us. Once we were shooting, we could take it off.
Okay. Yeah, it's just odd. The whole thing with COVID and it's just odd what you have to do to be safe, you know. They have to make everybody do the same thing. You know, they want everybody to stay safe.
Right. I mean, the National Shooting Complex did a great job. There was hand sanitizer everywhere. But it was just odd. I mean, not even getting to mingle with other teams. So a lot of these kids that we've grown up with shooting, for instance, a lot of the seniors that I know, this was maybe our last time to shoot, chop, and ski together. So we didn't even get to say hi or bye or none of that.
So talk about being a student at Texas A&M. How have you liked that?
It has been absolutely amazing and life-changing. The Aggie network and community as a whole is outstanding. And perhaps the most valuable part of an education is the whole part of Texas A&M. I've met some of my best friends, including my fiance Dominic, and I've made some incredible memories. There have been so many great opportunities presented to me since I've been in College Station, and I'm so thankful to be an Aggie.
So does going to class, working, and being a part of the trap and skeet team take away from sporting clay training?
Class and work definitely have to be my priority, especially with my capstone and my research manuscript that I'm publishing. Mm-hmm. But I really think the trap and skeet team has only helped my training. Anytime I'm able to get behind the gun and pull the trigger will be beneficial since I'm getting to work on different elements. I've always sustained skeet birds, and I'm a pull away shooter in sporting clays for the most part, mm-hmm. but it is useful to go and shoot ski and shoot sustained. So this way, when I transfer that to sporting clays, I'm a little bit more prepared for the season. Mm-hmm. And trap birds, particularly in vitesse training, are always beneficial. So I think the team has really only helped my sporting clays training.
Right.
I just don't get to shoot it particularly as much as I would like to for a couple months.
You know, we've talked about that before, that, you know, if you want to practice, go shoot around a skeet. Do you feel that that helps you in sporting?
I personally, probably not, just because I have 14 years of experience in ski. I kind of just know what to do. For the majority of people, though, absolutely.
Yeah.
I know a lot of my friends, if they're going out to shoot ski and a lot of, or shoot sporting clays, sorry, and a lot of those stations are really full for practice, they'll just go hop on a ski field. And I think it's great. I mean, it gets your eyes working, gets your hands working. I think absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is your next step? Now that you're graduating, what are you doing?
I will be going to nursing school. I'll be coaching the Lone Star Select shooting team and hopefully continuing my shooting career even through nursing. I will be going to an accelerated program for nursing. So it's going to be 15 months long. But I'm excited. I think even though it's accelerated, I'll still be able to compete and go places.
Talk about Dominic for a second. Dominic's a great shooter. I think
he's amazing.
Yeah, I think he takes lessons from Zach as well.
Yes, he does.
Okay, so what's Dominic's plans? I mean, are you getting married after you graduate? What are you doing?
Yes, yeah, so Dominic took a co-op his sophomore or junior year. So he will be staying until December.
Okay.
And so during that time, we'll be apart. But once he graduates, he'll be moving to Houston, finding a job. And once I get into nursing school and kind of figure out my school schedule a little bit more, we are going to set a date. So it's been a long engagement, but we've always planned for it to be. We wanted to get to know each other better and really set ourselves up for success. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited to graduate and hopefully set a date.
All right. Do you foresee yourself shooting trap and skeet or just focusing solely on sporting clays from now on?
As of right now, I foresee myself focusing solely on sporting clays and vitesse. I know as a coach, I'll need to stay up to date on my fundamentals of skeet and trap so that I can properly coach it. But I'm never going to say that I won't ever shoot another round in my life. I do hope that I continue to shoot it, especially in preparation for sporting clays. But it'll be nice to take a little break just for a little while.
Oh, I'm sure. Let's talk about something that just came out for a second. Winchester just announced the Ladies Cup. And I'm sure you've heard of that, and I'm assuming you're familiar with that.
Yes, it's amazing. I am so glad that they've got Desi to advocate for us females in the sport. I mean, I am really excited for this year.
Will that entice you to go to more shoots, or does that make it like, does that make you want to attend now that this money's there? I could probably win this. How does that make you feel?
Definitely think it helps entice it for the majority of females. I really like just being there and shooting. I don't think any amount of money will get me to go to a shoot or get me not to go to a shoot. I really just like the people. I like the atmosphere. But I mean, of course, it's always nice to have the possibility of winning money because it ultimately helps pay for your next shoot and tournament. So I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to increase overall female involvement. Mm-hmm. But I think for the majority of top competitors, we've always been just so hungry for a win and to get to meet new people and to get to just pull the trigger. So I think it's just going to keep enticing us to come back, not necessarily motivate us to keep going, because we always will.
It's like icing on the cake.
Exactly. It really is.
And I like icing.
I mean, you too. Best part.
So, you know, a big topic in clay shooting is probably, it goes all over clay shooting, not just sporting clays, is that everyone wants to be sponsored, right?
Yes.
So at what age were you sponsored, and kind of tell me how you got sponsored?
Okay. Well, this is a really interesting story. So I was first sponsored when I was 13 years old with Beretta. I actually used to be a pianist. Dominic bought me a piano, so I've been practicing and kind of tuning up, but I was actually a master pianist. So I was performing at Carnegie Hall in New York City, and I learned that they had a Beretta gallery store. Mm-hmm. And I begged my mom to take me. You know, I worked so hard. I won an international competition. I got to go perform at Carnegie, and she finally agreed. So I was racing up the stairs to the third floor, and that's where they keep the really nice and expensive guns. Mm-hmm. But under New York law, you have to be 13 or with a parent to go on the third floor. And my mom was way behind me. So the gunsmith started freaking out when he saw this little 12-year-old girl by herself, just kind of looking at all the guns. And I wasn't touching anything, but you know, you never know what's going to happen with kids and guns.
Right.
So he soon realized my mom was behind me, and he kind of started laughing at my enthusiasm. That gunsmith ended up to be Ed Anderson, who I still keep in contact with today. And once he learned I was from Texas, he got to know of all the titles I had won. At that point, I had been an undefeated 4-H ladies state champion, and he was really amazed. So he put me in contact with the Beretta team manager, and one thing led to another, and here I am with Beretta almost a decade later.
That's amazing.
Yeah, 9 years with the company. I was telling that to Dominic the other day. It almost seems surreal. It's been a decade.
Did you ever, being a lady, did you ever shoot the automatics? Well, I guess you did when you started. You told me that. But did you, going up through your career, so to speak, did you ever shoot automatics, or did you shoot over and unders? What did you shoot?
I only started with an automatic. So from the time I was 8 to 11, I believe, I was shooting that 391 with Beretta. Mm-hmm. And then I actually was shooting a Browning Satori, I believe, at the time that I was sponsored. And from then, I've been exclusively in the 680, 690 line. Mm-hmm. So my first gun I was sponsored with was the 682, the Gold E, which is an amazing gun.
Right.
And then the 692. I'm currently shooting the 692 black, but only until my 694 gets here from Winning.
I'm assuming you've shot the 694.
It's amazing. Great visibility. I am so excited to get my hands on the gun.
I went to Nationals 2 years ago when they announced that gun. Mm-hmm. And I walked into the Beretta booth, and I was talking to Travis Hagelin, and he said, check out the 694. And some of the people from Italy were there, trying to explain how they set it up and how it was designed. And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to take one of these, and I'm going to shoot the main event with it. And they kind of looked at me funny, like, are you kidding? I said, no, I'm going to go shoot. I mean, I had a nice gun, but I was like, I'm going to go shoot this gun because I like the way it points.
Right.
So I grabbed the gun literally off the wall, okay? And I go to, I don't remember what course it was, and I shot a 73 out of 75 with that gun. And had, never shot it never shot it. And I said, what in? So if anybody is looking to buy one heck of a gun that really points, is made to shoot sporting clays, you need to go check that 694 out. It's unbelievable.
It's a premium gun for a fraction of the price. Yep. I mean, everybody that has put their hands on this gun is raving about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
including me. I shot it at that demo. They took some photos of me and all the Beretta gear, but I shot it in the demo, and I really wanted to finish Nationals with the gun because of how well it shot. It just didn't fit me. I mean, being 5'3", hardly any gun is going to fit me. But I mean, wow, it's amazing.
It is. So talk about more of your sponsors. Who else are you currently sponsored with?
Okay. So, besides Beretta USA, it's Abel's Ammo, out in Huntsville. Mm-hmm. Winning Custom Gun Stocks, Good Times Ranch, Wild Horse Creek Ranch, and of course my mom is always there to help support me.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember seeing your mom when we shot FITAS together. She was right there.
Yeah. 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 And actually my mom, just with work and me being in college, it's so hard to coordinate schedules. So that was probably one of the later competitions, or one of the last competitions that she attended.
Really?
So Every year at Nationals, I get to see her and she'll get to see me shoot, but very few and far in between.
Does she like it?
I think she does. I think she gets nervous though. Back in 4-H, I mean, you know, you shoot skeet and trap and it's hundreds. Hundreds are expected. 99s are good. 98s are okay. But hundreds are the norm. So she knew what I could do. I think with sporting clays, there's just a uncertainty of how is she going to approach this target. So I think she gets a little bit more nervous, but she's like, just do your thing. I'm just here. I'm not going to bother you. I'm not going to talk to you. Just don't even look at me. I'm just here.
Yeah. Well, that's good. She does that. I mean, she's pulling for you, but not pulling for you at the same time. You know, she don't want to get involved too much. And I think that's important. And you can talk about that. How important is that in a kid coming up shooting by their parents being just supportive of them and not necessarily aggravated, if that makes sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. It's of the utmost importance, to be quite honest. Having a kid feel encouraged and motivated and as though they will be supported throughout the whole process could not be more beneficial for them. I think the parent helps set the tune and the attitude of how the kid is going to react during their round. So, you know, if you have a parent that's already throwing a fit after the first round, what is there to say the kid shouldn't do the same for the next couple of rounds?
Right.
So I think parents help set an example of what sportsmanship looks like. And I think ultimately that's your make it or break it in this game. It's always important to make sure your kids know to take it seriously. You know, you don't want them wasting all your money shooting clays, but they should have fun doing it. If they're not having fun, they're not having a good time, they hate doing it, why are they doing it?
Right.
Look for another. So I think parents that are encouraging and motivating really help their kid out in this sport.
Right. Do you think going to nursing school is going to take away from your shooting career?
I really don't. I'm going to be in that accelerated nursing program, but I'm still going to be closer than I've ever been to a sporting clays facility. I'll be 20 to 30 minutes from Greater Houston and American shooting centers. I think I'll be within an hour or hour and a half from Abels and Westside. I'm really in the mecca of sporting clays. So I think that close proximity coupled with my new job will mean that I get to spend a lot of time continuing to practice and compete.
Yeah. You're a current member of Team USA for sporting and an alternate in feed task, right?
Correct.
All right. Yes, sir. Talk about the world championships coming up.
I'm really excited. I hope and pray that all goes well and that we get a chance to attend and compete as a team on an international level again. I made the team in 2020, and that was my first time to make it. So not getting a chance to compete was pretty disappointing, but I just had to accept it. I mean, it's not something that I could control and take the extra time to compete in. So taking that extra time to improve and focus on my game actually ended up working pretty well. So I was able to win my first two championship tour events. And, you know, thankfully I get out of school in early May this year. So I should have plenty of time to train before both events in July.
Yeah. Now, is it common for someone in college to be a part of Team USA?
I think at A&M specifically it is. I don't think that's pretty common in any other college. I think A&M, just with the status that it has and the Aggie network that it pulls, we are able to recruit fellow Team USA members. For instance, Joe Finese, I think, has always wanted to go to Texas A&M, but then he hears Dominic, Blake Bajali, myself, a couple others just doting on how amazing A&M is, and then he's set to come here. And then, you know, Joe Finese's got a great pull, and he's just a great advocate for the sport. So I can't wait to see who he pulls to come to A&M. So I think A&M in particular is a sporting school for sure, but I don't think it's very common at many other schools.
Yeah. Do you think your sporting background helped you in the ACUI?
I think when I won in 2019, most definitely. I think sporting was a separator. This year, though, I had so little time to train. I was really just relying on my past experience in trap and skeet to carry me. And that's actually what helped me win this ACUI. It was a lot more muscle memory than it was sporting instincts, which actually made the first half of my sporting round a roller coaster. I really had to remind myself to trust my eyes and hands, Thankfully, I was able to clean it up the second half of my round and put up a decent score. But I really think it all boils down to having the right mindset for each game and being able to apply the right tools in the right situation.
Yeah. Advice. If you had to, if you could give someone advice that's currently on a college team or wanting to get on a college team, what would it be?
I can't speak for everyone, but I think the majority of people are in school because they're looking to have a career outside of shooting. Mm-hmm. And if that is their goal, then they should definitely take care of business first and make sure they're putting themselves in a position to succeed academically. I've always been a person that is self-motivated and wanted to succeed in as many things as possible. So sometimes you just don't have enough time in a day to do it all. But if you manage your time wisely, make smart decisions, and work hard, I think shooting in college is an incredible experience. Shooting for A&M in particular has been one of the greatest experiences I've been a part of. And I've honestly grown to really appreciate the team aspect of shooting. It adds a lot of pressure. And I think it's actually helped my mental game tremendously at some of the larger stages in the sporting clays world as well.
How is that?
I think just making it be about a team instead of yourself. I didn't get to compete overseas last year, so I think it's going to help me out this year, hopefully, if we do get to go. But knowing that your teammates are counting on you and relying on you, but still putting the focus on the next bird and how do I hit the next bird and how do I hit the next bird after that? And just making it about what does it take to break a bird? It takes your eyes. It takes your hands. It takes a whole lot of things that need to be cohesive in order to break it. Mm-hmm. So that added pressure of a team has had to been diffused when shooting with A&M.
Yeah. All right. So being a woman in clay target sports, I've noticed over maybe the past year or so that there just seems to be more women shooting.
Yes.
Why is that, do you think? And how do you think that we can get more women involved in shooting?
First of all, I think the Winchester Tour is the way to do it, to get more incentives out there. So the women that are in B or A class feel motivated to now bump up, not even bump up, but to add to their performance to now be in the running for a championship title to get the money. Mm-hmm. But I remember when I first started shooting and I was 8 years old, there were like 5 girls that I was competing against versus when I graduated high school, there was at least 100 or maybe even like 70 to 80, but still a considerably larger amount. Mm-hmm. I think just making women feel comfortable around guns is the first step. So more training programs, more shoot with your girlfriends. I know that some ladies have donated lessons that you get to bring a girlfriend with. And so then it's more about, oh, let's go have fun. Let's learn about guns. Not so much, this is really intimidating. What do I do? So I think making it a fun atmosphere, a positive atmosphere, teaching them the basics of gun safety and handling, and then showing them the competitive side and them seeing women be able to do this and compete against the guys or even just win ladies by a considerable margin. I think it's really encouraging for them.
Yeah, you spoke earlier of your coaches, all really good shooters and all good coaches as well, but they're all male. Do you feel that a woman would feel more comfortable with a female coach, or can you be just as comfortable with a male coach?
I think you can be just as comfortable with a male coach. I think it depends on the person, though. I forgot to mention Desiree Edmonds in that list. I have taken quite a few lessons with her. Mm-hmm. And I'd almost argue that she is one of my favorites because she understands the women perspective. And, you know, I think guys are able to focus on one thing and women have a million things racing through their minds at any given moment. So Desi breaks it down and she's like, why are you thinking about that? You're thinking about breaking clays and that's it. And I think having a woman coach really breaks it down into what it takes to win and win at a consistent level. I think Desi is probably one of the best advocates for the sport for ladies. So having her even suggest the Winchester Tour and work with them, I think she's amazing. I mean, she's one of my top role models.
Yeah. Zach will even tell you that she is a extremely knowledgeable coach.
Absolutely.
You know, we were shooting a few weeks ago and I was with Zach and Desi and Desi could just see something that I was doing wrong. And she says, hey, why don't you try this? You know, in just a friendly manner. And I tried that and it worked. So, very easy to get along with, very easy to talk to. I really like her. So it's, she's a really good shooter.
She's a phenomenal shooter. But I think more importantly, when it comes to ladies that are just now starting, Desi makes it fun for them. She gets them excited. She gets them hitting stuff. And then they want to keep coming back and learning more and learning more. So she really has it down to a science, how to get ladies in the outdoors. Mm-hmm. But I think just, you know, Desi is a great example of her winning and being on top of the world. Ladies feel as though they can do the same. So then it gets them involved and wanting to be on the same caliber as Desi. And Desi's able to teach them how to do it. But it's just putting in the work consistently and having the talent mixed with the hard work that is going to ultimately help them win.
Yeah. You started shooting when you were 8. Go through the shells that you shot and what you're currently shooting now, as being a kid all the way up to being a young woman. How has your shell choice progressed?
I first started with, I believe it was those Remington, the ultralight recoil shells. And those were amazing, but I was shooting such a short gun and I was so tiny. I didn't put enough pressure on my gun sometimes and I didn't really mount it into my shoulder. So if the stock doesn't have enough pressure against your shoulder to recoil, it's not going to go off. So I had quite a few lost birds when I first started, just because I didn't put the gun too far into my shoulder. That was all the way up until I was 9. From 9 to, I'd say probably like 12, I was shooting probably 1 ounce, 7.5. I always shoot skeet with 9 ounce, and everything else I shoot 7.5 ounce. I've always been real funny about that. But whenever I was 13 to, I'd say 18, and this is when I was getting pretty heavily coached by Zach, I was shooting 7.5 ounce, 1350s. And he was just like, you don't need this shell. It's too heavy for you. There's too much recoil. And I would never listen. I was like, no, I can handle it. I can handle it. Well, finally, I'm shooting at the age of 18. And I just keep complaining about this headache that I've got. And everyone around me is like, your shells are too heavy. And I was like, what do you mean? I always get a headache when I shoot. And I was like, I thought it was just from not drinking enough water. They're like, Megan, you drink water at every single station. It's because your shells are too heavy. And so then I immediately switched down to 1 ounce, 7.5, 1250s, and I've never had a headache since. So it's really funny because Zach was always right. And he tried to convince me from the age of, I think, 15 that it was too heavy, and I just never listened to him.
Yeah. You probably haven't seen a difference in your breaks either, have you?
No, I actually think I crush them harder now.
Really?
Especially halfway through the round, I don't lose my stamina nearly as fast. So definitely crush them just as hard.
Wow. All right, what NSCA tournament will you be attending next?
I am headed to Arizona for the first championship tour event, the Western Regional, this Thursday, and I'm really excited. I've actually never shot at Ben Avery before, so I'm really looking forward to starting the year with something new.
There is a lot of people going to that.
Yes.
I mean, I wished I could go, but I can't. But yeah, I've seen there's a lot of people going to that. So I've never been out west to shoot. I've always stayed Texas east, so... I'd always like to go out west and try that out, but maybe next year.
Maybe next year. There's always next year. I know it's a change of scenery. I've been used to going to Tucson the last couple of years just consistently. So a change of scenery is pretty nice. I'm excited.
Is it wide open shooting at Ben Avery where you're going? Like no background?
No idea. Actually trying to get the rundown from Dominic of what to expect here in the next couple of days so then I can try to mimic the training.
Yeah.
I go do this week.
Yeah. Well, hey, good luck with that. Congratulations on your win. Good luck in your career. I mean, you seem like you've got it going on. Wish you all the best of luck.
Thank you. I've got an army of supporters behind me, so it makes all the difference. Yeah. But thank you for interviewing me.
Yeah.
I've had a great
time. Yeah, not a problem at all. And I'll be looking forward to seeing you somewhere, I'm sure, at a shoot.
Yes, maybe it will be Nationals at FeeTask again.
Well, you know, I don't like shooting FeeTask. I just don't.
Do you know?
I think that year that we shot together, I just decided I didn't like it. And I'll tell you why.
Well, because of me.
No, they had a quarter and rabbit on FeeTask, and I couldn't mount the gun.
Yeah.
I remember that. You know, you got to start low. Well, I couldn't get to that rabbit fast enough. And
right.
I think I missed it every time. And I said, you know what? I ain't shooting this anymore. And right. I really have not shot it since then. So
that's it. Well, maybe Zach can get you fixed up on hitting the rabbits.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, it is. It's fun. I'm sure I'd have fun if I just shot it more, but I just haven't. So,
yeah.
But anyway, thanks for coming on, and we look forward to seeing you somewhere.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, Megan.